Karen Hartglass, and you're listening to It's All About Food. Thank you very much for being here, joining me today, or whenever you're listening. It's going to be a fun hour because I'm here with my very favorite person on the planet, Gary DeMattei. He's the co-founder of Responsible Eating and Living and my life partner. And we have a lot of fun together, especially when it has to do with food.
Hi, so, Karen.
Hi, Gary.
How are you?
Thanks for being here. Good.
Well, I mean, I feel like one of those guests that you call in because is a possible crisis. You know, when you watch a lot of, if you watch a lot of late night television and sometimes a guest pops up and you didn't see that guest on the schedule.
On the roster.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I'm like one of those guys that you call. I feel really honored about that. That you call.
Help!
And say, hey, I haven't heard from my guest and I don't know what's up. And the last thing I heard was that my guest crashed and they are, their computer crashed and not they. They didn't crash. Gosh, I hope they didn't crash. Anyway, so your guest had a computer crash problem.
Yeah.
And now we're not sure if they can.
We don't know where she is.
So at any moment, they might be.
They might be, yes.
They might be calling in. Now, they use the they pronoun.
Yes,
pronoun.
So we have to be careful.
Let's talk about pronouns.
Let's talk about pronouns.
While we're at it. I go by the he pronoun. You go by the.
I do go by the she, but I understand.
And some people go by the they, which is cool.
It's cool. You know, I'm learning languages. I speak French in addition to English, and I'm studying German, which I studied a long time ago. I'm trying to get it back into my head. And I'm also learning Spanish. And every language has different rules, especially when it comes to gender and how adverbs and adjectives have to follow the gender of the noun, whether it's a real gender of humanity or an assigned gender that they give to inanimate objects. It's fascinating.
Right.
And I would like to get rid of all of it. It would be a lot easier to learn languages
if
you didn't have to pay attention to gender.
Right. That's really important and profound, very profound. So anyway, your guest was going to be
Sarita Rodriguez.
Sarita Rodriguez, Food Justice, a primer. And hopefully Sarita's okay. And hopefully we can get her on another show.
Another time. And hopefully she gets her computer fixed.
Yeah.
But I can relate to that.
Yeah, we just had a computer crash here, and it does.
If people have been listening to this show since I started in 2009, you will have heard the saga of my 2011 MacBook Pro over the years.
Yes.
Which has crashed and been resuscitated every time.
And it's now currently crashed, and you took you sent away for it to be fixed.
Yes.
So hopefully it'll get fixed.
I'm hoping.
Yeah, but right now we're using my computer.
Thank you.
A backup computer, and you're using me as a backup guest. So I'm sort of the backup today. Hi, everybody. I'm the backup. And Sarita, if you're out there, I hope everything's okay. And looking forward to having you on the show in the future.
Yeah.
And I hope that anybody that was tuning in to hear Sarita isn't too disappointed that you have me.
Well, so, our conversation is going to be very different.
Yes, of course.
Because when we talk, I think
we
tend to be light and humorous.
Very light and humorous. And the world needs a little lightness and humor. So stay tuned because we're
all
going
right
to have some fun.
So first, let's...
We're just drinking our green juices
let's
here.
Let's talk about our green juices.
So I thought we could talk about juicing. The other day, I had someone say to me and to you in the checkout line at a grocery store that they saw our celery that we were buying, and they lit up and said, oh, are you going to juice this? And I thought that was an interesting question because, I mean, you could do other things with celery, but this checkout person had been talking about juicing with us.
And you know what's funny? And then we'll get back to that story in a moment, but when we got home, I got a text from Mavis, who was the pianist when we did Into the Woods, and she, out of the blue, wrote to me and said, how do you cook celery?
Right.
It was a celery day.
It was a celery day. And then I flashed on one of the guests that you've had on the show talking about the benefits of celery, and he wrote a book called Meat is for Pussies. And
all right.
He looks at celery as having lots of benefits too if you juice it.
Yes.
To enhance your sexual performance.
Yes, I think everything when it comes to John Joseph.
John Joseph, who's awesome. I love John.
He's always talking about maca for the caca and everything else and, for the caca.
Yeah, if you want to really enhance your sexual performance, you should eat lots of celery and juice with lots of celery.
Yes. So, let's get back to sexual performance in a moment. I think it's an important topic, but celery juice. So there's been, it's kind of trending, celery juice. I don't want to go into why it's trending, but this one particular person is promoting it as something that's really important. And one of the things that he said is that you should have it just as celery juice and not mix it with anything else. And that's the only thing, that I don't necessarily agree with. I think celery is a fantastic food. It's filled with minerals, electrolytes. It's a great food to eat or blend or juice. It gives food a salty flavor because of those minerals, not just sodium chloride, but other minerals in it. And it's a great food.
Oh, yeah, it's a great food. And, you know, the base of all vegetable stock is celery, carrots, and onions. And those, they refer to those as the aromatics.
The mirepoix.
Yeah, the mirepoix. And so all you need is celery, carrots, and onions and some water, and you've got yourself a beautiful vegetable stock, and then you season it any way you want. But you start with a few stalks of celery, a couple of carrots, and one onion, chop them up, put them in the bottom of a stock pot, saute them in a little bit of water, add more water, simmer it down, and it becomes a lovely stock when you add your seasonings, your herbs and spices.
Let's get back to celery juice.
Right.
So celery juice is a good thing. It's nutritious. And we believe in juicing, especially dark leafy.
We're drinking our juices right now.
Yeah, but our juices have a lot of kale and collards in them.
This one has kale, collards, celery, carrots, and that's it.
Right.
Kale, collards, celery, carrots.
But saying that you should only drink celery juice
is ridiculous.
I think it's kind of defeating the purpose. And for people who feel that celery juice is going to change their life, it's a whole food, varied, plant-based diet, not just one thing.
That's going to change your life.
That's going to change your life.
I agree with that. And the other thing I agree with is that if someone is going to tell you all you really need to do is drink celery juice, then you should probably get a second opinion. Because that's – and I found that it was kind of creepy, too, when she was saying, yeah, no, all I really need to do is drink celery juice and my life is going to be better.
Yeah.
I mean, it could be a placebo thing with celery. I'm not sure.
Oh, there's always the amazing placebo effect.
Right. And for those of you who don't know what the placebo effect is, Karen, tell them.
Humans have this ability to believe things. And whenever a study is done, a medical study on a food or a medicine, not a food, but an ingredient in food that can be isolated and tested to see its benefits, or when a drug is made, it's tested compared to a placebo, which should have no effect on your health at all. It's usually called a sugar pill, and it's nothing. And yet, study after study after study show powerful effects from the placebo because people want to believe that they got the right pill. Very often in these studies, the patients aren't aware, or the volunteers aren't aware, which they got, the real drug or the sugar pill. And if they're sick, for example, they want to believe that they got the one that's going to make them better. And the mind is so powerful that we get this placebo effect, and they will have benefits. Now, the benefits may not be long-term.
Right. And that's a great segue for people who want to believe. They want to believe that certain things are good for them. They want to believe that if they hear it, and enough people are telling them, that it's going to do what they are told it's going to do, like drinking milk, for example, or
paleo diets and keto diets where you get to eat lots of meat. And that butter is good for you?
Yeah, like you could eat pounds and pounds of butter and pounds of meat, and it's going to be really good for you. And that's an interesting segue. So if enough people are telling you that something is going to be better for you, people want to believe that it's true, but not necessarily always the case.
No, just because everybody's saying it doesn't mean it's true.
Exactly. Well, I know that, but I mean, I'm
doctors used to say that smoking cigarettes was healthy.
Exactly.
I think we know cigarettes aren't healthy now.
Well,
I hope.
There's probably a lot of people out there who still think that.
Well, actually,
fine.
Do you remember? I don't want to name names, but we were with some young men who were on a really healthy path, and then they were smoking.
Right.
And I was talking to them about it, and they were trying to convince me that it was okay.
Smoking is okay. And their dad was smoking too, if I remember.
Yeah, that was
correctly.
Sad.
Yeah, so that was sad. But, you know, hey, there might be people out there that think it's fine and that it's going to be okay for them to do it.
Now, the benefit of vegetables, though, I remember a long time ago, there was some sort of analysis or study, epidemiological study, where they compared different groups from different places. And the Japanese who smoked a lot didn't have the same amount of lung cancers that we did here, and the reason was thought to be because they ate more vegetables.
Right, I remember that. Yes,
the
that
protective value of vegetables and vitamin C and all the nutrients that come with vegetables. Can we get back to juicing?
Yes, the juice here is fabulous. By the way, I wish you could all have a juice with us. And speaking
Cheers.
Of juicing, where do you go for your juice?
You know, speaking of juicing, we use a Breville Juice Elite that was gifted to me back in 2006, 12 years ago.
Right.
And a piece of it just came off.
Yeah, we have to send it away. And
either get it repaired or get a new juicer.
We might need to get a new juicer. That's right. We might need a new juicer.
And the technology has really changed.
Yeah, we have
years.
The old crush into the hopper juicer.
Crush into the hopper.
Yeah, just pack
yes,
it in there.
It's a centrifugal juicer.
Yeah, there you go.
Yes. That's, it's not masticating.
That's fun to say.
Not a twin gear masticating juicer.
That sounds just dirty. masticating
yeah,
juicer.
Masticating, especially the good ones, just do this gentle chewing on the vegetables to extract the juice.
Gentle chewing.
Gentle chewing.
And chewing on your gentles, gently.
Anyway, any way you can juice is good. Any kind of juicer you...
And we have lots of recipes for great juices and smoothies at responsibleeatingandliving.com, vegetable juices and smoothies. Check us out. All the recipes are free because we are a nonprofit. Thank you very much.
I want to also direct you to responsibleeatingandliving.com one more time because I was recently interviewed by... the juice guru.
What a juice segue this is. This is a juicing segue. The juice guru. I saw that. That's great. How can people see you on the juice
it's
guru?
It's right on Responsible Eating and Living. Steve Prusak, the juice guru, was kind enough to give me the video. There's and the audio. So you could either listen to it or download the audio, or you can watch on video. And I'm sitting here at our home office, responsibleeatingandliving.com, home office.
The home office.
And we did it by video. And
you
we
and Steve
talked
did
about,
it.
Yeah.
Talked about juicing.
We talked about juicing. I talked about my cancer journey.
Right.
And
which is a very harrowing journey.
It's my story.
Yes.
It's hard to believe it happened to me, though. It was so many years ago.
Right.
And because I feel so good now.
Because you're doing things like juicing.
Juicing. And I also talked about smoothies and how to get more greens.
How do you get more greens into your life?
You don't know.
Well, I mean, I know, but I'm on your show.
Well, I want them to listen to the video.
I know, but give them a little hint.
Okay.
How do you get more greens in your life, Karen?
Number one, you have to get them from somewhere. Either you grow them and pull them from the ground, or you have someone else do it, and you buy it in a package or at a farmer's market. But the key thing as soon as you buy it is to find some way to get it in your body because you don't want it to sit in the refrigerator.
For too long.
Right. That's not a good thing.
No.
So the most obvious thing, I think, is a salad.
A salad is a great way to get greens into your life.
And you need to have your favorite dressing or a yummy dressing.
Now, should I use iceberg lettuce? Is that a green? Would that be considered a green?
You know, iceberg lettuce has its value.
Right.
It's not as beneficial as the darker greens. I think the darker we get.
I'm setting you up,
get,
by the way. I know the answer to this.
Well, but iceberg lettuce is nice because it's very hydrating.
Right.
And on a summer day, it's kind of fun to munch on an iceberg lettuce instead of a potato chip, for example. I mean, you get the crunch, you get juiciness, you get no calories, you get fiber, and you get some nutrients.
Right. But what we're talking to people about is dark leafy green vegetables, right? Get more of those greens.
Darker the better.
Kale, collards,
spinach and chard. I kind of stay away from chard because it has a metallic taste to me.
So it's just a preference.
Yeah. Well, spinach and chard also are loaded with oxalic acid. Kale and collards have much less. So it's often recommended not to eat spinach and chard every day, just a few days a week.
Do people know that you're an expert?
You know, that's a very interesting thing.
No, because you are. You're an expert.
I have a passion about food.
But you are an expert.
And I've read a lot of books. I always think of that commercial a long time ago with Abraham Lincoln talking about how he learned law. He read a lot of books. But there are people out there that call themselves nutritionists, and I'm not going to mention any names. They also believe the world is flat, and they have millions of followers, and they are not a certified nutritionist, meaning they didn't go to school for it. They don't have a piece of paper. I will not call myself a nutritionist. I don't have an official approved background in nutrition. I do know a lot more than a lot of nutritionists I've met. That's another story.
No, I can attest to that as well. You do know far more than most nutritionists I've met with you, who don't seem to know very much.
Yeah.
So so that's why I'm not calling you a nutritionist. I'm calling you an expert.
Okay.
Someone that could teach nutritionists.
Yeah, you know, I don't think there's a curriculum, a college curriculum to become an expert. Is there?
Just reading a lot of books. And
can you get a Bachelor of Science?
And you walk the walk and you talk the talk. You talk the talk and you walk the walk. And so so it's an honor to be on the same program with you. And I'm on by default because I am the backup. Let's not
You're my hero, Gary. You saved the day once again, and it's more fun to talk to you than anybody else.
Well, I don't know about that, but we'll soon find out.
Talking about experts, one of the jobs that I do, aside from
That's what I was leading
everything else that we do at Responsible Eating and Living and the theater and performing arts we're involved with, but I also vet programs for other businesses. And I was recently vetting a program that had to do with foods for cancer that you can use to build your immune system and prevent cancer. And this particular article that I was reviewing was promoting meat and other animal foods and saying that they had cancer benefits. And can protect you against cancer. And you know me, I'm a vegan. I promote a whole food plant diet. I don't believe that animal foods are healthy. I don't believe that eating animals is good for the planet, and it's probably the worst thing for the animals who innocently have to give up their lives against their will to get on your plate. But there are some that will promote the benefits of animal foods. And I was reading this article, and pop, these things came out. And this was a good article in that they cited references for every claim that they made. And I respect that because you can't make a claim and then not support it with something. I mean, you can. A lot of people do.
A lot of people do, right.
But the key is if you are suspect of the claim that they're making, you need to go to the reference, which I did.
Many people will not. They'll just know that.
And this one particular one, they were talking about how chicken and eggs were good to eat because chicken especially has the highest amount of lutein and another word that I can't say, I'm just going to blur it up because it's got a lot of consonants and stuff. Anyway, and it's true. It does. But the study that was cited was done with vegetables, and the results that they got showing that lutein in particular protected against colon cancer was done with vegetables. And yet in the article, they were promoting eggs and chicken. And this is really misleading.
Right.
Because yes, the nutrients may be beneficial, but the nutrients were only shown to be beneficial when they came from plant sources. And that may mean
the chicken was fed the plants.
Well, the Not just that, but that there are all kinds of things in the plants that we haven't even identified or recognized. And many of these nutrients don't work as well alone all by themselves, just like us. We need support. We need our friends and family holding hands together to get through whatever it is. And the nutrients work together too. Every time we isolate a nutrient, we find it has side effects. It needs to work as nature intended with all these other constituents.
Now, when you said that holding hands together, were you like doing one of those charts where different proteins band with different proteins
Yeah,
and
you
you're
know, when I
using the analogy of holding hands?
exactly.
Because, yeah, it
I
sounded
think
like,
I've told you this before, but
see,
when I studied chemistry, because I have a background in chemical engineering, and we would study.
you have a master's degree in chemical engineering.
Thank you, Gary. When we would
That qualifies you as being more than just someone who has a background.
when we would study the makeup of different chemicals, and then there were these models, three-dimensional models that would have little balls and sticks.
Whoa, models with little balls and sticks.
Yeah,
What?
because every molecule of something
Okay, I
has
get you.
three dimensions.
Oh,
So
I see.
water, for example, the two hydrogens hang out in one place and the oxygen is somewhere else. It doesn't, they don't line up.
So it wasn't a live model class. It was actually, you're talking about plastic models
Yeah, of
of
molecules,
molecules.
not
Okay.
models, but
Okay. Oh,
molecules.
I see. Gotcha.
And
Well, when you said the models with balls and sticks, I thought,
yeah, okay. All right,
was it
stick figures and
like
stuff.
live model class, the life
You're
drawing?
really going. You're reaching.
I'm reaching. I'm
Yes.
reaching.
Anyway, so from these models that we would use, the balls would represent each individual atom of a certain element, like a carbon or an oxygen or something. And then depending on the valence electrons they had, we don't need to go into chemistry, do we? But like carbon, for example, has four outer electrons. So it has, I always think of it as like four arms reaching out,
Right.
and then they grab onto other atoms with their valence electrons. And to me, it's holding hands.
Right. That's why I
That
wanted
was
to
that's the
clarify
image that I
that for
got.
your
Thank you.
audience. Holding hands.
I like to think in pictures.
Right. But we're talking at a microscopic level now, so.
Yeah.
But that's
There
good.
you
That's
go.
good to visualize it. All right, so these things grab onto things and make strong links and chains and
I just think that nutrients, when they come in plant foods, work together in very special ways. And we keep looking for that one thing that's going to make a difference, and it's not one thing. We need
it's
to eat
not
a
just celery juice. Basically, we're back
exactly.
to that.
It's not just lutein that you can get in lots of vegetables and in eggs. The problem with eggs is eggs are loaded with cholesterol, which we don't need to eat.
Right.
Eggs don't come with fiber. Eggs come with a lot of cruelty and torture.
Exactly.
And if you believe that the chemistry in the non-human animal
But isn't it true
is
that
affected by its emotions, and you're eating it.
these people's programs that you vet, most of them are just trying to get somebody's dollar, correct? They're trying to get you to buy something from them, right? Which is why I keep saying Responsible Eating and Living is a nonprofit. We don't ask for people's money to sell them anything. We're
Right.
telling them the truth. We're bringing them the truth and the tools they need to have a long, happy, healthy life.
I'm going to
And
say yes and no to your question.
okay.
So I think that it's a wonderful thing when someone wants to start a business and do something that they believe in that has social value.
Right.
We live in a capitalistic society. We have to make money doing it. It has to turn a profit. Otherwise, you can't promote the information that you believe in your heart is valuable unless you make it profitable. So there are organizations like nonprofits where people can draw a salary, but the business itself doesn't make a profit.
Right.
But there are for-profit companies too, where the people that are invested in it can profit and take benefit from it. And you know, they're all out there.
Right.
I don't know what's right and wrong, but I think sometimes, just like the power of the ring, when people get power, they want more power. When people get money, they want more money.
Right.
And sometimes that may compromise what they started out to do, which was genuine.
Right. And so what you do is you vet programs.
I keep them honest.
And you keep them honest, which is terrific. So anything anybody needs to know about any program, they should contact you.
Yeah, well, I offer that all the time. If you've heard about a program, you're thinking about buying it, you want to know something about it, maybe I've seen it or read it or heard it, send me an email, info@realmeals.org.
Yeah, and if you're thinking about going on any kind of fad diet, contact Karen as well.
Because the sad thing is people probably don't think of it as a fad diet when they're jumping into it.
Right. The keto thing is just really scary. I'm speaking from experience because before I went vegan in 2007, I tried every diet that is out there, including the Atkins, which is now a derivative, which keto is a derivative of. They convince you to take on this thing because you can eat all the meat that you want and all the butter that you want and the cheese that you want. And it put me in the hospital. So I was literally about to die being on this diet. It shuts down your kidneys. It does a lot of horrible things. And I know there's a lot of people out there who are just really adamant about how it's the greatest thing out there. But
well, the interesting thing about keto is if you're really doing it, it's recommended that you don't do it for a long time.
Right.
It's something that you cannot live on. But I think most people are doing keto light, which means that allows them to eat a lot of meat.
Yeah.
And fat.
Right. And that's basically why they do it.
And that's not really what it is.
No.
Whereas you take a whole food, plant diet, and you can eat tons of wonderful, delicious food, and you don't have to worry about a thing.
No, you really don't. I'm here to tell you, you don't. And if you've ever battled with weight, which I have, just try a plant-based diet for a few months, and all of a sudden your energy will come back, and you will start dropping the LBs like crazy. And trust me, I know this to be a fact because it happened to me.
Okay, I want to change the subject now.
Okay, let's not talk about me anymore.
No. We'll get back to you in a moment.
No, I don't want to talk about
you. No, I want to talk about you in different ways. So I want to talk about breakfast.
Okay.
It's not even on my list, but it's in my mind. So we're big fans of oatmeal.
Right.
And we've had oatmeal in all different kinds of ways. We have rolled oats with apples and nuts and seeds, fruits and nuts and seeds.
You can see what we eat at responsibleeatingandliving.com every day. Karen has a blog. It's called What Vegans Eat, and that's basically what we eat. And
so we have the rolled oats, the cold oats, we have cooked oatmeal, we have steel cut oats that we eat cooked, and then sometimes we'll have polenta, some other grains. But recently, now Gary isn't doing this, but I'm into it. Mm-hmm. I've been having lentils for breakfast.
Yes.
I love red lentils, the little pink lentils. Well, they're salmon colored, whatever you want to call them. They're little lentils, and they have a nice color.
Right.
And when you cook them, they look yellowish, yellow-orangish.
Right.
They cook really quickly. I like to soak them overnight and rinse them and then cook them. And they make it – they're less gassy that way. And I've been warming – I cooked up a bunch, and then I just warm it up with some mushroom powder and mushrooms.
Mm-hmm.
And Gary's like, bleh! Because he doesn't like mushrooms.
I mean, I know the benefits of mushroom, and mushroom powder is one of the ways I can ingest mushrooms and not
in a pill.
Yeah. So.
Yeah. Or sometimes in a broth.
I put it in the broth too, especially if it's porcini, which is
really delicious.
For me, it's palatable.
Yeah, without the texture.
Right.
And then I might add a little turmeric, and it's like a hot cereal.
Right.
But I love it, and I find that I'm just not hungry after I eat it.
Right. The other thing we've been really getting into lately, and I think you could probably do something with it for breakfast, are purple sweet potatoes.
Yes.
Now, the purple sweet potatoes that we bought recently, the brand on them, I forget.
Stokes.
Now. Stokes, right. And they're grown locally. Right?
Yes.
Stokes are here on the East Coast?
No, I think they're out in like California, Chico or
something. They're out in California. Okay.
You can look up online. I forget. I did a whole show on it.
Well, they were out here, which was really cool. We found them at a grocery store out here.
Whole Foods.
Well, Whole Foods, yeah. That's right. It was Whole Foods.
Yeah. We're really into purple sweet potatoes. I think I've mentioned this before. We don't do it all the time, but you can slice them the long way and make toast.
Sweet potato toasts, which you've made before.
Yeah, and you put schmears on them.
And we have a recipe for those at Responsible Eating.
I think so.
Don't we?
I gave the recipe for the Food Revolution Summit.
That's right.
The Food
Revolution
Network.
We do recipes for them as well.
I'm not sure if I posted it.
We do recipes for a lot of people. We have recipes due for another cookbook.
We certainly do for the One Green Planet.
One Green Planet. We've been asked to contribute to that. And we're contributors with the Farm Sanctuary cookbook. Those good people at Farm Sanctuary, and our friend Gene Stone is doing another book that we're going to contribute some recipes for. So we're looking forward to that. And
okay, the next thing I want to talk about.
Yes.
Buffets.
Yeah, that was scary. Okay, that was the scariest thing that's happened to me in a long time, was going to that buffet.
We were invited to a family event. It was
a Heart Glass family reunion.
Heart Glass family reunion. And a few years ago, well, actually, we used to have them when I was really young, over 50 years ago, 55 years ago or so. And they would be in these social halls.
Right.
Actually, I'm 60 now, so I was like 3 or 4 when it happened. So it was a long time ago, but I have a memory of it in a social hall running around as a little kid and all these old people.
Right.
Like, as you say, what's the difference between Jewish women and Italian women?
Black stockings.
There were a lot of women in black stockings and the wide dresses.
What's the difference between a Jewish grandmother and an Italian grandmother?
That's it.
Black stockings.
And then the question is, who's wearing the black stockings?
Because they both wear black. So in other words, there's no difference.
Anyway, my sister hosted one 2 years ago or so. Maybe 3 years ago.
Well, you were also a part of that, but yeah.
Yes, and we had it at the wonderful Candle West.
Oh, it's lovely.
And it was a vegan brunch.
Candle West,
with
beautiful.
Gluten-free options.
Bart and Joy.
We
welcome.
Had great activities, and people told stories, and we even had a computer up where we Skyped with relatives in Israel, and it was really nice.
It was beautiful, yeah, lovely.
So I give the person who decided to organize another one a lot of credit, because it's really hard to put these
sure.
things together. Her choice of restaurant was not one that we really enjoyed, but maybe some other people
I'm sure
did.
Other people really enjoyed it, yeah.
But it was this giant buffet.
And that wasn't, you know, that I'm not faulting the person for organizing it. I'm really praising them. But what we're talking about now, what we're getting to, is the concept of a all-you-can-eat buffet.
Well, she thought it was good because there'd be something for everyone.
Right.
And there really wasn't.
Right. There really wasn't.
But so there were 8 large stations of buffet.
Right.
And then there was a sushi bar kind of thing, and then a hibachi bar.
Right. And normally you would think you could find something vegan that wasn't tainted with any animal meat. Like there would be like a separate station of just vegetables or a separate station of just fruit. But but there really wasn't. Everything, like if it was a vegetable dish, then next to it was a meat dish.
And there was no way to know if the vegetables were sauteed in chicken broth.
And then you could not, yeah.
There was no one to really ask about.
You weren't sure if the spoon was that was used in the meat dish was then being put into the vegetable dish. I mean, you just can't be sure. So a vegan or a plant-based eater, whatever you want to call the person that doesn't eat meat, dairy, eggs, a vegan, whatever you want to call them, didn't know. So you just, when in doubt, you don't go there. You don't put it on your plate. Even the salad bar was next to like
stuff,
crab with a K, fake crab, and stuff like really inexpensive food. And then they had this pure, wonderful food like a banana, but then they slathered it in a red jelly sauce. Like, so they took these bananas, they peeled them, and then they scooped this red gelatin over.
I saw that.
And I just thought, why would you do that to a banana?
Lovely banana.
Why would you take a perfect food and then destroy it?
So the question is, why do people like buffets?
I don't know, but when I walked in, I smelled this horrible really just putrid smell, and we went into the back party room, and it was really hard to shake it. And I think it was the stone crabs and all of the fish that they had, because it smelled like rotting fish.
Yeah, we're food snobs.
Yeah, I'm sorry. This is really smug of me. But I'm not trying to be smug. I'm just saying it was really a shock to my senses. And most people were just really enjoying it, having a great time. They had these oysters on the half shell. Like, you could eat as many oysters on the half shell as you wanted. And they looked really – they just looked dead. They looked like dead. Well, they were.
They were dead.
They were dead.
Yeah.
The people eating them. Not the fish, of course, were dead. But the people eating them looked like –
My nephew said the soup he had tasted like paper.
And this is from a meat eater.
From someone who eats everything.
Right.
Yeah.
So it was kind of scary. But I think the reason you go to things like that is because you want a lot. You want value. And you want to get full. And you want to think, you know, and you want to think that you're getting this really great deal. And to me, it wasn't a great deal. It still wasn't a great deal. I don't think.
No.
But it was a lovely afternoon.
It was a lovely afternoon.
Other than that, and such small portions.
No, yeah, right. Not small portions. Not at all.
But no, it sounds horrible right now. We're bashing this really great event to get your family together, but I'm not bashing the event. I'm bashing buffets.
The buffet. I remember maybe 30 years ago or something when the buffet concept came out. It was an exciting thing.
Why was it exciting?
Well,
you
can get all this food.
All the food you want at some sort of
at some inexpensive price.
Right, but that's not necessarily a good thing.
And I can appreciate sometimes a salad bar when all the ingredients are separate, because then you can customize. But it's a little different because they've been minimally cooked, if cooked at all.
So what are we saying? We're saying that
these dishes, you don't know what's in them.
Yeah. How do you survive the buffet? Well, your sister brought her own
sandwich. She brought her own food.
Yeah. Your sister, who's also a vegan, brought her own food. So that's one way to do it.
Yeah.
You can bring your own food. And I'm really speaking now more of somebody who's interested in doing this, but has to go to family events. So how did we survive the buffet? Well, I did go to the salad bar and I did load up on greens, and I made sure that they didn't have any animal products next
just
to them.
Just plain greens.
Plain greens. And then I went around and found if there was any tomatoes and just plain things. And then they had one plastic container that said vinegar on it. There was not an oil and vinegar cruet. It was just this plastic container. And it looked like it was just regular, you know, the kind of vinegar that we clean with at home. So I sprinkled some of that on there. And I ate that. And then I thought about one of those bananas, but then I saw that they slathered stuff all over them.
I had watermelon.
I didn't touch any of the fruit for some reason. I just didn't trust the fruit. And that's really sad when you don't trust the fruit. Anyway, it sounds like we're being very smug about it. But the reason we're saying this is maybe someone out there is going to go to a family event at one of these buffets. And my suggestion is eat first, bring your own food. And then we went to Whole Foods to buy a cake because it was Karen's mother's birthday, in addition to being the family reunion. And we bought a vegan cake and we gave everybody a slice. And there were people that went to the dessert buffet who even took a slice of our vegan cake. So I thought that was very interesting.
Why not? It was a party.
And it was a party.
Yeah. It was a party.
And we bought cookies,
gluten-free cookies
for Karen's niece who has celiacs. And that was nice. So we did bring in some food. And they were lovely. It was a lovely event.
All right. On to the next thing. I'm titling this show A View from the Bridge.
Right. A View from the Buffet, actually.
A View from the Buffet.
You can learn a lot about people at a buffet. I wrote a show called Eating Disorder, Eating Dad Order, which was a solo performance. Well, actually, it was slated as a solo performance, but there were other people in the show. And it was all about all of the diets that I've been on. It ran for 7 months in California. And I've been on every single diet. And one of the great things, again, for me, when I was about 100 pounds heavier than I am now before I became a vegan, was going to a buffet and just observing people. And so I did lots of send-ups on songs from Broadway musicals, and one of them was the musical Oklahoma, and I retitled it Obesity, OB City instead of Oklahoma.
Can we hear some of it?
No. You'll have to see the show. But there was a section that I did on buffets, so that's why I'm kind of harping on buffets here, because it's funny to me to see people at buffets. And I was one of them, so I was making fun of myself. Oh, and there's the Mr. Softy truck.
That's our theme song, if you can hear it.
You're listening to us live from Queens, New York, and our neighborhood has the Mr. Softy truck.
And one day, my wish is that all Mr. Softy trucks and all ice cream trucks serve vegan-only ice cream.
Right.
That's part of my world, and that's a nice segue into talking about where we're going tonight,
right,
which is to see The End of Meat, the New York premiere of The End of Meat. And you may remember 3 years ago, I talked to Mark Pierschel and Jeff Wirth, who created the film The End of Meat. And back then, they were just fundraising for it.
Ooh, and now they've made the film.
And now they've made it. And what they said was they were going to create a film that envisioned what the world would be like if it were vegan.
Right.
And they said they were going to talk to philosophers and all kinds of people. And I'm kind of curious to see what they've come up with.
That's great. And that interview is in the archives at Responsible Eating and Living.
Exactly.
Right?
Just Google The End of Meat or look up Mark, that's M-A-R-C, Pierschel, P-I-E-R-S-C-H-E-L. And it will come up. Mark Pierschel is from Münster, Germany, which I kind of think is amusing. Münster.
Münster cheese.
Name for a cheese.
Well, speaking of vegan cheeses, are we done with The End of Meat?
We could be.
No, let's not.
Yeah,
let's keep going.
I'm just looking forward to seeing it. That's all.
Oh, okay. So we're just riffing. So I thought of the other thing you were talking about earlier before you brought up The End of Meat was A View from the Bridge, that great play by Arthur Miller, and about the Brooklyn Bridge. We walked across the Brooklyn Bridge.
We did. We walked to Brooklyn and back to Manhattan.
Yes, we did. The other day, we were tourists at home, and we saw a Broadway show afterwards, and we stopped by P.S. Kitchen beforehand and had a little beverage.
And we ate at Buddha Bodai Kosher Vegan.
Buddha Bodai Kosher Vegan. We revisited Buddha Bodai Kosher Vegan in Chinatown, and we had dim sum, which was fun to do and fun to say.
Dim sum is fun.
And
yeah, if you're ever in Manhattan and you're looking for vegan Chinese food, there used to be the restaurant Buddha Bodai, and it still exists, and it's on Mott Street. That was the original, but apparently there was some riff, and they split.
The owners split,
and
right,
now there's the Bodai Kosher Vegan restaurant on Mulberry, and that's where we went.
They have great dim sum there, and amazing service, and you fill out the menu, and it's just really just so much fun to go to a restaurant that's vegan, as opposed to a restaurant, as we were talking about earlier, where you're not sure what's going on. And I'm sure you're still, there's still some, you could still have doubts in all restaurants about whether or not there's cleanliness and how fresh your food is and all of that. But it just felt really great.
It did. To
walk the bridge.
The menu's really fun, too, at this restaurant. I had a watercress dumpling.
Right.
Which had a noodle wrapper.
Right, very good.
Very good. And
we had the turnip cake.
Oh!
Let's talk about those turnip
cakes.
Yes,
let's talk about them, please. I will be, with your help, Gary, creating a turnip cake recipe.
Yes.
This is an awesome traditional Chinese dish, of course, served with meat or with meat mixed in. But at Buddha Bodai, they make it without. And theirs is probably a little extra oily, and the version we make will be.
That's light. The other thing about eating in restaurants, regardless of where you're eating, is they're going to use a lot of oil. They're going to use a lot of salt.
A lot of salt.
And but there are some vegan restaurants that don't. There are some vegan restaurants that hold back on the salt and the oil. Candle, we will mention Candle again. They are very good about it.
Yeah, we love them.
Yes.
But turnip cakes, we love them.
Yeah, they're very
good.
So
it's like a cooked, mashed turnip that's mixed with scallions or onions and a few other things, and then it's cooked as a cake, and it has a little light chew to it, not too much. It's soft.
Well, it's not like a cake per se, as far as like a
patty,
a sweet cake. It would be what they've done is they've mixed this, I call it a farina, base, but I'm not sure what the base is.
No, I think it's rice flour.
Okay, so it's a rice flour. It's a farina. It's like a farina made with rice flour. It's like a polenta or a cream of wheat, but it's actually a cream of rice flour base. So let's say you would cook rice flour down into like a polenta form, and then you would add the chopped turnips to it, and then you'd pour this mixture in a sheet pan. So it's got that thickness to it. It's got and then they cut it into squares. So that's what it looks like when it comes to your table.
And the flavor is just amazing.
And it's really, really good. And then the other things we had, you had a
mushroom congee.
So tell us about congee. What is congee?
I love congee. I've talked about congee before. Congee is typically made from rice that is cooked with lots and lots of water, and it's cooked a long time.
It's like a rice soup.
Until it melts, and it's creamy, like a porridge. And the way they make it at this particular restaurant is with a lot of ginger and mushrooms.
Right.
And it's just
three kinds of mushrooms.
Yummy. Now, I created a variation called tempeh congee.
Right.
Which was tempeh cooked in water with ginger and mushrooms.
Yeah. And if there's any transitioning vegans out there, people that want to go plant-based, what is tempeh? It's not just a city in Arizona.
Tempeh, T-E-M-P-E-H. People like to pronounce it in different ways, but it's tempeh. And it's fermented soybeans that are made so that when you get it, it's like a cake. There's that word cake again, but it's a patty.
Yeah, it's compressed into a long rectangle.
And you can just rip open the package and eat it raw.
And it has
crumble it in salads.
It has a very unique taste, a very mushroomy kind of taste.
Yes.
But what I like to do is I like to marinate it. And so I've got a lot of recipes for marinated tempeh. And then you could actually put it on the grill. It holds up to grilling. And this is a big Labor Day weekend coming up. So lots of you will probably be using your grills for the last time. And we have a video for you to watch about plant-based grilling at Responsible Eating.
It's right there on the homepage, Gary, at ResponsibleEatingandLiving.com, Gourmets.
Swinging Gourmets, which we are also known as, Karen and I are also known as the Swinging Gourmets, because we try to bring levity to a very, very serious subject like diet and exercise and what you put in your mouth and what you put on your plate. And all of the things that will help you sustain your long, happy life that you're all leading now, or maybe make you even happier. Is that possible to be happier than you are now? Well, I think so.
I think so.
And I think if you give it a shot, you're not going to be sorry. And I know it's difficult because I've been through it. So follow our instructions. Go vegan.
Go vegan.
And
that's the best thing you could do.
For yourself.
And I think it's easiest, although a lot of people think it's difficult.
Yeah, no, it's surprisingly very easy to do. And I think it's just the things that we think we're supposed to have. Again, it's that placebo thing. A lot of people think that you can only get protein from eating animals because we've been led to believe that. And that's just not true. Again, we'll segue back to the beginning of our conversation about juicing. Lots of protein in juicing, lots of protein in dark leafy green vegetables. Think about where the elephants and the hippos and the rhinos, all of those vegetarians get their protein and grow to be as big as they are.
And lots of protein in lentils, my new breakfast cereal.
Yes.
Lentil mush.
There's lots of protein in it. And plus, you don't really need that much protein. I don't know. People have gone protein crazy.
Yeah, that's the other thing.
And that can really mess up your kidneys and a whole lot of other things. But I'm not an expert. Karen's the expert. I'm just the backup guest.
Oh.
So let's talk about giving up things that you think you need, but you really don't. A little more about that. You think, you know, a lot of people that I know, my heart breaks now for them because they tell me things like, I can't give up cheese. And I just would never be able to do what you're doing, Gary, because I can't give up cheese. And that's heartbreaking. And it's also heart-stopping
No.
in the bad way, because cheese is probably one of the worst things you could put into your body. It's not, there's no, all of the romance that's around cheese is just false advertising. There is no romance around cheese. There's no romance about how cheese is made. Get that out of your heads right now. Cheese is just a really bad, bad, bad thing for you and for the planet.
You know,
And
when you wean yourself away from
oh, no pun
cheese,
intended.
oh, when you wean away from eating a lot of fatty foods, when you go back and eat them again, the first bite or two might seem fun, but then that's enough. And I'll give you an example. So after this long day the other day of going to the buffet, it was in New Jersey, so I had to pick up my mom. We had to pick up my, no, we didn't pick up my mom. My sister brought her. Drove to New Jersey, lots of traffic, and then we had to drive my mom back on Long Island, back to her house, lots of traffic. And I wanted to end the night with a good taste in my mouth, literally, right?
Right.
And
You're going right where I was going, so that's great.
oh, look at that, Gary.
Yeah, I was,
Great
that's why
mind.
I got on the
I
cheese
had no
subject.
idea.
Yeah, because I was segueing right into the dinner that we
I
had.
was craving eggplant and tomato sauce, Italian style. And
Yeah.
then I thought, we're not far from Three Brothers Pizza Cafe with Chef Jay Astafa's vegan menu.
Right there. We were right there
We were
near it.
right there. So I dropped off my mom. I did a few things in the house. And then we drove there and had a lovely meal. And I got the eggplant rollantini, which was eggplant, thin layers of eggplant rolled up with a tofu cashew cheese inside,
Unbelievable.
and then smothered in this rich tomato
You
sauce.
want cheese? The best cheese is plant-based cheese, and this is
And I'll tell you, they served me three pieces, and I could only eat one, and I was stuffed.
and it was creamy and cheesy
It
and
was so
delicious,
rich.
and no
Animal.
animal had to be exploited,
It was amazing.
and it was delicious, and it was good for you. And I had, yeah, and I think another reason why you were thinking about Italian food like that is we brought your mom to dinner the night before because it was her birthday
Oh, that's
weekend,
right.
and we went to a very lovely restaurant on the water on Long Island,
Was
and she
gorgeous.
had
She had
chicken parmesan. It was one of those old school Italian restaurants, white tablecloths, everybody there eating huge plates of, cooked meat smothered in sauces and cheeses, and your mom ordered the chicken parmesan, and I.
But they did a beautiful vegetable plate
And we
for us
asked them for a vegetable plate,
without pasta.
and they gave us an amazing plate of sautéed vegetables, little olive oil.
Escarole,
It was
white beans,
very, it was
what else?
lovely. And they
Zucchini.
will do it for you. All you have to do is ask. And we were, I mean, I was really satisfied. Satisfied, there's that word. I was so satisfied. It wasn't satisfying. Trust me. Go, if you're ever on Long Island, go to Three Brothers because they have a vegan menu for you as well.
There's one in Farmingdale, and then there's an all-vegan restaurant in Copaig, same
Created by
owners.
Jay Astafa. And
I've had him on this show too.
Jay's been on the show. Great guy. Like Jay a lot. Hi, Jay. Anyway, so that was really cool. So the cheese places that I was going to talk about, there's one in Brooklyn called, is it Riverdale or
Riverdale Cheese Store.
it's a vegan cheese store in Brooklyn. And I think they don't make their own cheese on site. They bring in all the vegan cheeses that are out there, and it's a great place to find out just how many vegan cheeses are out there. And I'm sure there's a lot of vegan butcher shops opening now, which they're popping up everywhere, and they're doing the same thing. They're bringing in other vegan cheeses and then making their own. And of course, there's Miyoko's, and there's Kite Hill, and there's a lot of great vegan cheeses out there in grocery stores that you can now find.
We're taking over.
Yeah,
I'm
so.
envisioning this vegan world, and we're going to see it tonight in the film The End of Meat.
Right, very, very excited.
What the world looks like.
And I'm happy that you all tuned in, and thanks for hanging with us. And again, I hope everything is okay with your.
Oh, yeah. Well, let's just take a brief moment. So perhaps we'll have Sarita Rodriguez back on the program sometime soon when she gets her computer back up.
Yes.
But she has a book out that has to do with food justice, and it's a fascinating topic. It's a heartbreaking topic, especially when it comes to the land today that's used for growing food. And I just have a minute here to just kind of touch on the subject, but it is so complicated. And there are many people who don't have property and would like to grow their own food. Many people work on farms, and yet they still can't afford to eat because a lot of that food in other countries, in the developing nations, I wish we had a better term for that, the food is often exported to like the United States and Europe and other places like that. It's a big imbalance, and I'm realizing that it stems from colonialism, and it stems from the haves who have the land and the have-nots who don't. And there really needs to be this movement. And there are movements all over the world that are popping up to equitably share the property on this planet. Because, I mean, really, should anyone own a piece of the planet? Now I'm getting all socialist, but we all breathe the same air. We all contaminate the same air. We all drink the same water and contaminate the same water and the soil, too. We all should have a piece of it. Because
yeah, it's never more have become more clear to me than driving through Costa Rica with you and seeing all of those palm trees that they're growing all over the country to
make palm oil for China.
Palm oil for China and other places.
And other places. How crazy is that?
So you see all of this land being taken up for one export.
Yep.
It's
and not really for feeding people and not for creating anything healthy.
No, nothing healthy, just palm
oil. Let's leave you with that thought.
Yeah. Thanks, everybody. I hope you have a wonderful rest of your day, and tune in to Karen's show next week when she will have a much better guest than I am.
Gary, thanks for joining me, everybody. And remember, have a very delicious week. Thank you.